Shall I pray? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When we arrive in this world, it's a great day, isn't it? It's a great day. The language we learn becomes part of our being, our hearts and souls and spirits and psyche in very intimate ways. In Bible translation terms, it becomes our mother tongue because it speaks to our hearts. PNG and children have a bigger challenge than most of us here. They often have to learn two languages in their home, the one from their mother's background and the one from their father's background. And they do it well. When we become Christian, we learn another language, the language of God. We learn to pray so we can communicate with our Heavenly Father. And this is our mother tongue of our Kingdom of God life. But let us start in the beginning. First, the foundations are family. Jesus is not using the born-again image in John chapter 3 just in and of itself. He sets it in the family, his family. You see, our human family covers the whole span of life, from birth, education, work, through to retirement, and in the earlier part, from birth to earning a living, the newborn is learning the culture of family and society. They are reading the people around them. They're learning ways of living and interacting. The cultural context we are born into and live in has a huge influence in our lives. We are who we are because of where we learnt to talk and love and pray and eat. Remember the family you grew up in, the hurly-burly of life as a child, a teenager, a young adult, and now getting older. There are also discussions and tensions and thrills and joys and sorrows. The basics of life were provided without hesitation. The Bible has many references to the people of God as the family of God. There is a lot of common ground between our human family and our place in the family of God that we join by new birth. Our life in God's family covers much the same period with its whole of life learning process. So in one sense, we never actually arrive. We're always learning. In the same way, we're always aging. The newborn Christian person learns to read those around them who are older in the faith as they themselves grow in the faith. Just as in the human family there are books to read, so in God's family his word is read and pondered as our sustenance and lifeblood. Every person who is born again at whatever age goes through this process. And this is why Jesus used the image with Nicodemus. So Nicodemus, who was a well-learned person, would see the need to become a child again, as he needed to spend time learning the culture and character of the spiritual realities that constitute the family of God in the kingdom of heaven. John 3 shows the basics of being in Christian family, God's family, in a congregation by being born again and then going on to learn, love and absorb the culture of grace and love from God's people and God's word. People often tell me they want to smell the roses. We know the fragrance of roses lifts and transports people to a new level of calm and peace. I'm advocating a daily time out, not to smell the roses, but to be lifted and transported in spiritual grace from time with God in prayer. Secondly, we come to prayer as the language of God's family. It's our mother tongue. In Matthew 6, Jesus gives us the basic content and outline of this language in the Lord's Prayer. We note too that prayer is the language of love. Jesus shows his love for us in Romans 5:8, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is commitment. When people are born again, they are introduced to the love of Jesus that will be with them forever, just as a family is introduced to the love of their parents at birth. Prayer is our loving response to this great revelation of God's love in Jesus. Prayer, also, while it is often vocal, is spiritual. In John 4, Jesus says, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." And further on in John chapters 14 to 17, Jesus weaves the web of spiritual life that holds us safe in his arms as we learn how that spiritual life not only nourishes and feeds us, but strengthens and sustains our faith. As we embrace prayer, it fuels and guides our growth as God's people. But then too, prayer is saying yes to Jesus. Not just once, but over and over. Saying yes to Jesus is like our breathing. We say yes when we breathe in and we say yes when we breathe out. What happens when we stop breathing? That is why it's important to recognize and respond to the love and grace of God by constantly committing our way to his purposes. In Philippians 4, Paul tells us how our yes to Jesus is enshrined in being thankful and is fundamental to the foundation of our walk with Jesus, of loving and growing in understanding of our new spiritual context and situation. Prayer also shows us the changes Jesus wants to make in us. Israel found continually saying yes to Jehovah very difficult. Even before they were out of the sight of the Red Sea, they were moaning and groaning and complaining. As God's Spirit teaches and guides us from within, we realize that walking God's way will make changes to our lives. He will ask us to drive safely, to clean up our language and habits that embarrass him, to turn off the TV, other temptations to resist are the pressure to stop praying and not have time, the pressure to stop reading God's word and read something else, the pressure to stop meeting together and encouraging one another. If we yield to these temptations, our walk with God will stagnate. Our growth as Christian people, as members of God's family, is vital for our spiritual health and well-being, just as food, learning, and culture are to our human family. And lastly, we come to three examples of people from God's family who took prayer seriously. At Christmas time, I spoke about Simeon. This morning, I'm going to add David and Paul. David, in 1 Samuel, is described more than any other person in Scripture in these words. David inquired of the Lord. And what impressed me from the reading of 1 Samuel is we have the record of David's conversation with God. And that is a good guide for us when we pray. David as king prayed for God's guidance as a matter of habit. David is described as having the Lord with him many times. And when David didn't inquire of the Lord had a backup. He sent Nathan to sort David out. Curiously, while David is taken as the role model king of Israel, Israel does not take up David's example of inquiring of the Lord. Israel, it seems, had its own idea about what God wanted, and it paid dearly for being of independent mind, soul, and heart. David challenges us to develop our own inquiring of the Lord as a regular habit if we wish to know God's way so we might live in it. And the third person is Paul. In Philippians 4, Paul outlines a significant promise. He says, "Present your request to God with thanksgiving, and God's peace will guard you." This is a huge encouragement for us, especially we could say in COVID times. Remember, God's peace will guard you. And then true to his word, Paul does just that. He prays with thanksgiving for each person in the Ephesian congregation. And so in verse 16 of chapter 1, he gives thanks and then follows a huge amount of detail as he prays for the Ephesian people. Paul wraps all his other prayers for the Ephesians in thankfulness. Being thankful aids the growth of the spirit of gratitude, while bringing a shopping list prayer to God can lead to a spirit of acquisitiveness that is little different to the shop as you drop of our culture. And so, prayer is the language of our life as Christians. It's our mother tongue. It's our food and sustenance. It's our breath, it's the breath of our lives. It's the prevailing part of our culture, of the culture of our lives as God's people. But in order for it to be that, we need to spend time reading, thinking, and meditating on the Word of God, both in its printed form and as it is written on the lives of those around us. As we spend that time, we will grow in our understanding of our spiritual life and the grace of God as it's shown in Jesus. Simeon did just that, and he was in the right place at the right time to meet baby Jesus. We do it because we've met Jesus, the Lord of life, and we would know more of him. David as king made time to develop a routine of praying for the Lord, inquiring of the Lord. Paul prays for his readers with thankfulness as he encourages them to wrap their prayers in thankfulness so they will know God's peace is guarding them. As we begin to spend time thanking God, then we'll begin to know God's peace is guarding us. An observation. I notice there are two groups of people in church. No, it's not male and female, it's something else. There are those who come to faith from a family that has been Christian for one or more generations. They come to faith with a huge reservoir of encouragement and understanding and awareness of what faith is. They have been prayed for. They have prayed. They have the Bible read to them. They read the Bible themselves. They are familiar with their heavenly mother tongue. Then there are those who come to faith from a family that has little or no Christian faith in their backgrounds. They have no such experience of familial faith. They have not had the Bible read to them. They haven't read the Bible, maybe. They haven't been prayed for. And they haven't prayed in a family context. And Paul says in another context something that is true of them. All things are new, that is, Bible reading and praying. And yet sometimes they grasp the need for time with God and His Word more quickly and more thoroughly than those from a family with all the Christian cultural adornments. And yet people in both these groups are pilgrims on the same journey. They come from quite different backgrounds and understandings of God's resources. You've seen bicycle wheels around, haven't you? They've got a lovely rim with a tire and heap of spokes and axle in the middle. Well, if you stood all the Christians in the church around on the rim and sort of spread them around according to their Christian background, the two groups I spoke of would be over, one would be over this side and one would be over that side. And they're travelling towards Jesus along the spokes, right? They're actually going in different directions. And that's an important point to understand when we're talking with people. But they're still going to Jesus. A story, lastly. Cirque Zalay had a lovely story about life, about two people and their lives from birth to post-retirement. When they started work, their dreams, aspirations and maybes vanished, along with the colour of their clothes. They were replaced with despair, cynicism and bleakness and 50 shades of grey. As they were overwhelmed with the stuff and nonsense of our culture. After the people retired, their companions of their earlier life cautiously reappeared. They began to imagine again, to dream, to have maybes again. Even colour returned to their clothes. Our faith has the answer to the blackout in that story. It is spending time with God in prayer, reading His Word, and meditating that provides spiritual strength and grace to bring light and joy, colour and hope, not only to the beginning and the end of our lives, but to every moment in between.